Okay, now it's good because it froze and then it wasn't recording, so I had to quit it. And okay, I'm recording again.
I am recording now too, and we can do the episode for real this time.
Okay, now it's good.
Perfect. Okay,
Yeah.
I'll do the intro again. Coming to you from the Flexbox Fantasy Federation's World Broadcasting Headquarters in Ottawa, this is the weekly show, Daily Edition. As always, I'm your host, Nick the Man Penner, and I'm joined once again by my esteemed co-host. Please give a warm welcome to handsome Jamil Hussan. How's it going, Jamil?
Nick, it's going great. Just to prove to you how special of a co-host you are and how exciting this episode is going to be, I actually left an engagement party early for you, so I don't leave you hanging dry here, so I'm happy to talk the second last night of the regular season with you.
Well, I admire your commitment to the pod, your willingness to be dragged away from your other social engagements early, and you're right, this is a big night. I mean, we're recording a little after 11 on Saturday night, so Saturday's effectively in the books, meaning we only have one more day left in these two exciting finals that we're watching.
Yeah, this is like really exciting times for the league, and you know, we're about to crown some new champions, and we'll see. We'll do a breakdown of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's just get right into it. I mentioned on Friday's podcast with Flex for the league championship that it looked like that was going to be a bit of a nothing day. We spoke a little too soon on that one. Chow did pull out a fairly significant point advantage, 39 even to 17.1 for Jeremiah. So Chow built on his lead a little bit there on Friday, but then today has been a complete reversal of fortune to the point where one of the competitors seems to have effectively conceded the matchup because Jeremiah put up a massive 50.1 points as of recording compared to negative 3.3 for Chow, which brings the overall score to 199.8 for Jeremiah, 193.9 for Chow. So Jeremiah has a slight lead and looks to be in good position to take this matchup home tomorrow. But Jamil, what are your thoughts at this point?
Man, who would have saw this one coming? Chow putting up a negative 3 on a Saturday? That's probably unheard of. And you got to feel good if you're Jeremiah. This is just kind of a surprising spot to be in. You know, he erased that deficit he had with a 50-point night so far, and he's got to look good going into the last day, even though his streamers for tomorrow, which we'll touch up on a bit later, is kind of fringy at the moment. But I'll take this if you're Jeremiah for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremiah obviously has to be thrilled. He really rolled the dice and got some good results. Big starts today from both Wainwright and Lance McCullers Jr., putting up solid point totals. He got some bullpen help too, which potentially might affect his point total tomorrow, but obviously great to get those points in the bank now. And his bets were a net positive today. So overall, it's been a great day for him, and I don't even think he would have imagined being in this good of a position right now.
Yeah, and you can tell some of the managerial moves that he made paid off so far. They pitched today. Tyler Webb, 5 points. I think he picked up Tyler Matzik earlier in the week. He put up a solid 6.5 points. And if only Lance McCullers the plan was for him to only do a couple of innings, I think, to get ready for the playoffs. And if he went two more innings, he would have got that quality start and got even more points for Jeremiah. So the pitching and the bullpen, like you said, did come through for him.
Absolutely. Especially McCullers, like you said, giving up no earned runs. That's obviously huge. And that 13-point start is going to be potentially the difference between winning and losing this matchup for Jeremiah. But on Chow's side, I mean, I think we realized earlier in the week that his starts weren't going to line up well, and he appears to have used his final one today on Tucker Davidson starting for Atlanta at Boston, putting up a negative 3 points. Not a lot of help from his bullpen, despite the best efforts of Garrett Crochet, and his bats a net negative on the day. So all in all, that adds up to negative 3.3 for Chow. That's just really disappointing for him.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if you know something happened with Dylan Bundy, because he was, I'm reading it right now. He was scratched off. So if he even had him rolling for a Saturday, at least he would have put up a solid number. But like you said, no production at all. He's on the negatives, and that's got to hurt.
Yeah, that's obviously really disappointing. And it feels like Chao's momentum has just stopped really abruptly here at the tail end of this week. I mean, earlier in the week he was rolling. He was putting up 50, 60-point days. But he hasn't kept that momentum going, and now he's allowed Jeremiah to squeak ahead of him a little bit here.
Yeah, and I was actually, like, I wanted to point out, too, in this podcast, I was listening to the one with Chao and Cam, the episode that he was on. I got to say, I got to disagree with the mindset of him saying that, you know, since he's already won championships, he's really not going to mind as much if he loses. If he wins, sure, he'll take a chip. But I think you got to have that's not the right mentality. You got to go for any chance for a championship at all costs, because he's in the talks of a dynasty this early in his career in the league. We're only like 8 years in, and he's already in talks of a dynasty. You got to go for that third championship. And I just had to disagree with that take he had.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I was not on that episode, but listening back, it's sometimes hard to tell with Chao how much of it is sort of the false humility kicking in a little bit versus genuine feelings. But you're right. I mean, you'd hope that if you were Chao in this matchup, you'd go hard. You'd really want to pick up the extra championship, because, I mean, like we said earlier, this could be the matchup that cements him as the greatest Flexbox Fantasy Federation owner. So you really hope that he would be committed to trying to win this one.
Yeah, and I don't know about I don't know about you, but for me, I might be one of the few that's actually rooting for Jeremiah in this championship final, because I like the way that the league can produce a new champion every year. It just shows that anyone's capable. We have a deep league that, you know, there are good managers out here trying to win every time, and if Chao wins again, he's just kind of, you know, overtake, like you said, as one of the best. So I'm rooting for Jeremiah, the big bad villain in this one.
I mean, I know Jeremiah himself will be none too pleased with all the storyline talk, but you're right. I mean, the idea of Jeremiah coming and winning the championship after struggling so long, being able to turn what seemed like another lost season for him into a championship ring would obviously be huge. And yeah, it's like you said, anyone can win any year, so it's great to have that element of surprise, even in the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I guess we can look forward a little bit to the final Sunday in this championship matchup, because there's a lot to break down here. I mean, realistically, depending on how point totals wrap up, Jeremiah is going to be ahead somewhere between about 5 and 10 points, I would say. And so based on that, it's going to be a different set of circumstances. But Chao does need to win the day in order to win the championship. He's doing it with no starting pitchers, whereas on Jeremiah's start end, he's going to have four starts between Keegan Aiken, Austin Vaught, Nick Pivetta, and Austin Gomber. All guys lined up to pitch tomorrow. So depending on really how those starting performances go, this could be a close finish or a blowout in Jeremiah's favor.
I think just based on the pitchers that he's running for tomorrow, I'm not going to say it's going to be a blowout. I think Chao's bats has a good chance of bouncing back for tomorrow. But it sucks for Jeremiah, though, that Valdez was actually slated to start and he got pushed. So he's like the most consistent guy out of those pitchers that you just named. So a lot of these guys are very fringy, and Aiken and Voth, especially Pivetta, he's most likely just going to pitch an inning or two. But I'm still going to go for Jeremiah pulling it out. And the big Saturday is going to help him for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating to look at this and just in terms of the pitchers he's got going, because I don't think any of these guys are elite or strong pitchers by any sense of the imagination. Looking at their recent starts, I think all of them except Voth have a negative start in their last three, and Voth, his fourth and fifth starts were both negative point totals. So in that sense, this is a situation that really could backfire and blow up in Jeremiah's face if even two or three of these guys have bad outings. The negatives from that point total could drag down his day on the whole, really. So if you're Jeremiah in this position, maybe you consider sitting one of those guys. Maybe you consider pulling Pivetta, but it's got to be nerve-wracking for him thinking that even though he has this strategic advantage, it could end up coming back to cost him.
Yeah, I agree for sure. But I think he's at the point where he's just going to go all in, and he might be kicking himself if he benches one and they end up doing really good. So he's so committed now that he's just got to start all of them, roll the dice, and if he gets negatives, he gets negatives. But I don't see him taking that advice from you of benching one or two.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I wouldn't expect him to bench anyone, although, I mean, knowing Jeremiah, I think he's got to at least be thinking about it a little bit in the back of his mind. Going all in does seem to be the strategy, especially considering that Chow would need to match his point total and get about 10 points more tomorrow to win. So Chow, I think for his part, really has to be relying on a huge day for his bats. Maybe a couple guys having big home run games. That seems to be his best path to victory at this point.
Yeah, and just kind of going with how Cam's been since when Cam was hosting, and he's talking about a lot of hitters to watch. On the final day, is there any, because we've been talking a lot of pitching, but is there any hitters that you think is going to make a big splash for tomorrow for either side?
I mean, that's a good question. I would say, looking back on the guys I called in last podcast to be key pieces today, Whit Merrifield was key for Jeremiah, putting up 4.6 points. Obviously had a good day at the dish. Jeff McNeil, I would argue, was consequential in a negative way, putting up a total of one hit in a 8 at-bats and a doubleheader for a negative 1.2 on the day. So that obviously cost Chow significantly there. In terms of people who might be significant tomorrow. Again, not going on the statistical analysis front, but just pure gut feeling. I mean, you'd got to think that any path to victory for Chow involves Lindor having a big day. He's facing Pittsburgh. He's facing a weak pitcher. So it seems like an opportunity for him to potentially go off a little bit. And then, I mean, for Jeremiah's side, looking at his bats, you would hope that Machado could be a part of a victory for him. I mean, Machado has been a little bit streaky this year. He's been a little bit inconsistent, but he does seem primed to have a big day and could use a couple more home runs on his total for this season. So after a little bit of a slump, it would be great to see him do well before the playoffs start.
Yeah, those are fair ways to look at it. I have for Chow, actually, for tomorrow, I actually have Alex Verdugo for some reason. I just have this feeling that he's going to deliver for Chow because just based on the numbers, he hasn't been playing well. But the Red Sox, we know this year Red Sox just mailed it in. But their pitching's been horrendous, but their bats has actually been solid. So I see Verdugo having a big day tomorrow. For Jeremiah, if I can look through his team. Let me see here. Okay, yeah, I think I'm going to go with Garrett Cooper. He actually picked him up recently, and he homered on Friday, I believe. Yesterday. And he's playing in Yankee Stadium, so he's facing a prospect in Schmidt. So I see Cooper maybe going yard again to help Jeremiah's case. And you've just proven why Jeremiah's a good manager. He's making the right pickups, and they're delivering.
For sure. I mean, Garrett Cooper being part of the victory for Jeremiah would be pretty joke. So if he was able to have a big day, I would love to see that. Love to see the Slack reaction to that.
Yep.
Just one more thing to say before we move off of this championship matchup, I think, which is that I think one key factor really could be the bullpen. I believe that Jeremiah had four relievers go in some capacity today, and just checking on the guys who are in the true RP slots for Chow, a lot of guys have pitched on the 25th, but not since then, so they could absolutely be slotted in on the 27th. He's got a couple guys on even more rest than that, and I think Jordan Weems was his only true reliever who pitched today. So it could be a situation where he has, you know, 3, 4, 5 relievers all going tomorrow, which could, again, potentially turn the balance in his favor.
Yeah, I agree with that. And so far, I don't know, I got to check the numbers. I think it might be Jeremiah winning the Battle of the Bullpen so far. I know Cam talked about a lot of Dolis not being used, so that probably hurt Jeremiah a bit. But yeah, I agree. It's going to be, you know, which battle-tested bullpen is going to pull through tomorrow.
Yeah, and I mean, just in sum, looking at the matchup for tomorrow, it does seem like Jeremiah has by far the most straightforward path to victory here, getting a couple of good starts from his starters and anything on top of that being gravy. But Chow definitely does have some path to victory, although they seem a little bit flaky or so. Jamil, I don't know if you want to weigh in, maybe give percentage chances to each guy, but it does seem pretty tilted in Jeremiah's favor at this point overall.
Ooh, in terms of percentages, I'm going to go, based on just this weekend alone and the momentum, let's go with, I'll go 70-30, Jeremiah. I just think that the momentum and the, even though he has fringy starters, that should help just kind of coast him through his first title. So I'm confident, and I'm going to pull for the villain.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would even be slightly more weighted towards Jeremiah here. I think if you play this final day 10 times, Jeremiah wins 8 of them. So I'd give him an 80% chance, 20% chance to Chow. Again, not impossible. That's better odds than a lot of people get. But it really does feel like the path to his victory relies on a lot of failure on Jeremiah's end.
Although based on the history of Chow's finals performances, I'm not going to be surprised if he shocks, and beats all these odds that we just mentioned. So I'm not going to count him out fully yet, but like we've been saying, Jeremiah does have the momentum here, but I wouldn't be surprised if Chow definitely makes it close and maybe sneaks one in.
I mean, you have the saying from the NFL, never count out touchdown Tom. Well, I don't think you can ever count out championship Chow either. It's It could be his greatest comeback to date.
Yeah, we'll see. We shall see.
But Jamil, while we have the public airtime, I mean, I think it's only fair for us to talk a little bit about our matchup, just because I'm excited to dive into it with you a little bit. In the Europa final, it's coming down to it. As of where we stand here on Saturday night, it looks like I currently have a lead of 207.6 to 204.7 for you. So a very tight matchup. And we're in a similar situation where I used my last 4 starts today. Got 10 total starts on the week, but I have nothing left and no matchup acquisitions left, whereas you have 3 starts going tomorrow. So in theory, you're well-positioned to close the gap between us, but how are you feeling at this point?
Well, yeah, to be honest, the only reason I've been wanting to get on these podcasts is talk about me and you. I'm kidding. But honestly, I'm very, pleased with both our performances. Obviously, I'd rather be winning at this point. But, I got to feel confident just based on the way the offense has been hitting. Jared Walsh has been a surprisingly good pickup for me. He's been on a tear in September. And the old man veteran, Salvador Perez, has been amazing. So, just like you said, I'm very happy that even DeGrom today only went 5 innings and 9 points. Is 9 points is good, but he's usually an automatic 20 plus, so I'll take that. And I think it's going to be a close one for sure. And I think you just homered too, so that doesn't help me. Jock Peterson just homered, so it's going to be an exciting finish.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a hell of a matchup to watch, and you're right that your bats have just been electric, especially in some unexpected places. Salvador Perez, the chief among them. So earlier in the week, I definitely felt much more confident about this matchup. I felt like, just have to hang with you for the start of the week, but then I'd pull away. But you've been in there tooth and nail. You've held the lead on most days. So I was really hoping for possibly a 5th start today before Bumgarner got pushed. Was a little bit disappointed not to get more points out of DeGrom or out of Justin Dunn's start. So it's tough in that sense. I'm glad to have a slim lead at this point, but yeah, it's going to be a hell of a matchup to watch tomorrow.
Yeah, I saw that that call up on Dunn. I respect that a lot. Like we talked about Chow earlier, you got to go all in and got to go for it. And the man here is showing that he's committed to win this Europa. And based on the podcast the other day, I heard this prize is going to be a little bit slightly more juicier. So I'm excited to hear what that is about.
Yeah, I mean, knowing us, I'm sure that whoever wins is going to take good advantage of this prize. But you're right that it's been a great matchup, and it'll be fun to see what comes down to. And I mean, maybe this is bad strategic move on my part, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that you have a matchup acquisition still remaining. Do you have a plan to use your 7th acquisition?
Yeah, so basically I'm saving that based on all the games being finished for today, and I will assess which kind of guys to kind of go forward with for there. Not revealing too much, obviously. but yeah, I'm definitely going to use that last one. I'm not going to hold that and do nothing with it.
That's fair. I respect you playing your cards close to your chest, even though there's nothing I can do to stop you at this point, really.
That's true.
Personally, I would say you adding one of my own prospects would be a pretty good flex and definitely something I would do in your shoes. But, you know, all jokes aside, I'm glad we've both used all seven. I'm glad we're both each going to get over seven starts. So it's clear we've taken this matchup seriously and kept it competitive.
And we forgot to mention, we're on pace to have more points in the actual championship final. So in a way, ours is more exciting. So
that's very true. I mean, I should go back and do the math. I wonder if either of us would have won the actual championship being in the playoffs. And I mean, Jamil, considering you're coming into these playoffs 2-4, I think you can be pretty happy with this run you're on. I think it vindicates your season a little bit.
Yeah, like I said in the earlier podcast, based on the schedule I was confident enough to sneak in a little couple of wins here and there, but 2-4, I was a little disappointed, but not that much, just based on the way my roster's built. But the momentum I built in the playoffs and potentially winning Europa, I can't get too mad at that based on a rebuilding roster I have. So, like you said, I'm very happy with the way 2020 has gone for me.
Well, and speaking about the way that 2020 has gone for you, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up one other topic, which is the draft lottery going down on Monday night. And Jamil, I'm pretty sure that you have locked in the best odds to pick first overall, and that at this point I'm locked into the second best odds. So how are you feeling about that draft lottery? You hoping to get that top overall pick?
Yeah, Cam actually mentioned me the other day mentioning that, and I'm very excited. I don't think I've ever got the number one pick before, so I'm excited. You know, a little bit more research on these prospects. You know, I know I have a history of not really knowing, you know, everybody, but I'm definitely gonna take advantage of what if I get the best odds here.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's only 35% between us if we have the best two odds. So there definitely is a good chance that someone lower down in the lottery rankings could scoop up and move past us to take the first overall pick. So I'm not counting on anything just yet, but it would be fun for one of us to have it. Could definitely be something worked into the podcast. So yeah, it should be fun and good to know that even after Sunday, the season doesn't really end.
Yeah, exactly. We got more things to look forward to, so that's why our league's top notch here.
Exactly. The fun never stops in the Flexbox Fantasy Federation.
Exactly.
But, I mean, Jamil, thanks so much for being on the pod. You've been a great guest. It's been a lot of fun talking with you. Really looking forward to seeing how our matchup goes down. Really looking forward to seeing how the championship final wraps up. Is there anything else you want to add at this point?
Yeah, I just would find it very hilarious because I listened to the podcast yesterday, I believe, and you mentioned how you would be honored to represent Europe and all those countries you mentioned, but it would be hilarious if I won and not having to been in any European countries at all ever in my life, so that would be hilarious.
sometimes you don't even have to go to Europe to experience Europe. I'm sure you would be a proud representative of the continent as well were you to win this matchup.
Exactly, but yeah, you've been great, Nick.
It's been a lot of fun, Jamil. Appreciate it always. And again, shout out to Flex for editing these episodes. I know it's extra work during the daily week, but really appreciate it. It's a lot of fun. But one more sleep to go, one more podcast to record. But for now, all we have to say is good night and good fantasy.